Blog Talk Radio.
That's right, ladies and gentlemen. We are back. We are back. Welcome to another live edition of the Absolute Truth Show right here on Blog Talk Radio. I am your host, with the most. Yes, my voice sounds like crap. I am dying over here because I've been sober for 2 days and I've been partying the 2 days prior. I am your king of kings, the Hot Rod. And on the phone lines, I have the one, the only.
Sean Black in the building once again. Ha, 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 ha. Very funny. Yes.
What?
And I am here and you cannot get rid of
me. I'm sorry.
You can take that for what it is. It's either a positive or a negative depending on what side of the hot rod you're on.
Yeah, but our fans love to hear me. I'm the star of the show. You know. But besides that, I don't want to get Sean Black too jealous of me right now and have a meltdown on the show. The number to call is 347-989-8402. The number once again is 347-8988. Oh my gosh.
Here we go. Yeah, you're about to give them a number to some other thing. I don't know what, but you know.
Okay. Hear me out. 347-989-8402. Sean Black, are you ready to piss some people off?
Yes, I am. And apparently I'm going to sound much better than you because you're sober. I'm usually sober. You're sober off and on, and I think that's probably what's throwing you off. And every time you're sober,
yeah,
you sound like you're not sober.
I'm so not used to this thing. But, let's get to it. Earlier today, I sent Sean Black a video. In Alabama, there was a deadly tornado that happened last week that took many lives away and destroyed many people's homes. I have a friend that lost some family members down in Alabama, and usually when a tragedy happens like that in America, a president will come down and visit the devastation. So, yes, we're about to talk about Trump right away. Let's get this thing out. So, Trump went to go see the area and visit the people in Alabama. Okay. That's not. When I said this to Sean Black, I was dying laughing. You could call it fake news. You could call it what you want to call it. Remember in Puerto Rico when he wanted to go see the people down there? He was throwing out toilet paper to the people. And I know we did talk about this on the show. The people that lost everything, homes, clothes, food, power, water, what the hell a roll of toilet paper, paper towels will do to help other people in Puerto Rico? Well, ladies and gentlemen, Trump did it again. He did not give out paper towels. He handed out autographed Bibles. I know my voice is a little bit down, but yes, you heard that. He signed Bibles and gave them out to the families of the victims of the tornado. Now, Sean Black, when you saw this video, what was the first thing that went to your mind?
The first thing that went into my mind was the fact of how out of touch and how much this person truly does not understand the singular word that most people that are in a position as president or of some sort of power has, and it's called...
Are you saying that Trump is out of touch with the reality or with the people or both?
It's called empathy, something that he doesn't have, something that he probably never has had, something that he never will have. And when you are at his age and you have never had that ideology of empathy towards someone else other than yourself, then it's kind of hard to actually do that when you're in a situation or a position to be the one that is going to heal. We've seen this in the past with the past presidents, President Bush, President Obama, President Clinton, presidents in the past that have gone to natural disasters, that have actually gone out and have done things at certain functions to calm the people. We know when Obama had talked to the people at Sandy Hook after that shooting that happened there and all of the other things that have happened. We know about things that have happened in past instances where the president is needed to be the voice of reason to calm and reassure and actually start a little bit of healing. Well, what we've continually seen from this particular president, and I don't know why it's an actual surprise, is that when President Trump goes to these disaster areas or something along those lines, he's going to do what in his mind he thinks is going to. And in this instance, it's basically showing you not only the God-fearing part that a lot of politicians tend to have at a lot of particular times, and I have no problem with that if that's how they actually feel, but what is an autographed Bible going to do to help somebody that needs a place to sleep, food to eat, regular necessities, toilet paper, toothpaste, diapers for children, Similac? What is that going to do? And this is the problem that we tend to have all the time when we get to this point. And we've talked about this to death when he was throwing out the paper towels, like you said, with Hurricane Maria in Puerto Rico, who we will know to this day, a lot of Puerto Rico still doesn't have power. There's still places that are there that are out of reach as far as power, et cetera, et cetera. What is this president going to do to show you that he has any empathy for mankind? He has none. And when we look at this, and we see what hack surprised about this whole situation. And I'm pretty sure you don't either.
No, I wasn't surprised. It's just another day in Trump paradise.
And that's disgusting when that's normal. Think about that. This is considered a normal day in the administration of the Trump administration. And when we're talking about any of the things that we've outlined, we can go over some things that have happened to the president and his administration in the past week that would probably be too much for someone's 25, 30-year career in politics. And he's gone through a lifetime of bad news and bad karma in 1 week. And this is considered normal.
But I remember last week and many times on the show, you bring up a lot of flaws of Trump. And I tell you over and over, like, no matter what this man do, and which I don't argue against your point, but the people don't care. Like, for example, reason why I was dying laughing, this man gave out autographed Bibles, and like you said, what the hell, Bible, can I say that in the same sentence? Oh, well, I'm going to hell anyway. What the hell an autographed copy of a Bible would do to help other people, but when the people that was cheering, and chanted USA, and you know that blood into the evilness, the blood of Donald Trump. So, like I say to you all the time, like despite anything that he does wrong, yes, it's stupid, but he still has that strong base, and people will be like, you know what, Donald Trump went out to see the devastation. He gave out autographed copies of the Bible, so people go pray and hoping that God would give them a new house or a new farm.
Well, you can have hopes and prayers as much as you want, but hopes and prayers is not going to do any good to any of those people that are now underwater, or all those people that are, you know, hopes and prayers for the gun victims. Oh, we give you hopes and prayers and prayers and good wishes. When those people are finished with those hopes and prayers and good wishes and they come down to a tangent physical need for something, when is that going to be fulfilled? It's not.
Well,
because the effort and the priority for this president is deflection, is ire in some instances, it's division, and it's also smoke and mirrors to keep you away from all of the other nonsense that he is going through, all of the other stuff that he's potentially created, and is to steer all of that attention away to show you how magnanimous he is. Look at what I've done. I've gone down to look at all of the people that are below me, that are going to need my help, and to try to unify those people. Those same people, as you said, that are part of his base, that are expecting him after the beating that he's taken in the media from all of the things that have happened to him within the last week or two, to try to deflect that and get brownie points with his base. Because as I've said before, the people that are in the areas most affected, a lot of them are within those red areas that are that have either voted for him or that are looking for leadership from him. And when he goes into there, as I said last week, he does the nasty plunge right back into his base when he has a lot of bad news or a lot of bad press. And that's one of the things that he's done right there. And for him, he feels that that's going to help him out.
Well, if it's working for him, I'm sorry to tell you, why not? Will you agree with him on that? Why not? If it's working.
It may work for him, but I want you to ask those people that lost a lot of their property if it's working for them.
Yeah, and I bet you those are the same type of idiots that will still vote for him in 2020. In other words, do not be surprised. Yeah, I think that is my bottom line. No matter how many times we will talk about this topic, don't be surprised. If these idiots, and once very rare I will use these type of terms, point of people names, but these are the same people who are somewhat brainwashed, who based on hope and prayers, and have an autographed copy of a president on their Bible, and let them pray to their God, then good luck at that. That's all I have to say. But on to the next thing. On this show, we always talk about mental illness. And I always said that I believe to a certain degree we all suffer from it, especially in this society today. Was mental illness, who has it, what are the signs? Last week in New York City, this is one of red cop shootings. So, Sean, I'd like to know from your judgment, I'm like, there's always both sides, and there's always a good side, the right side, the wrong side. But let me know if this was justified shooting. There was a police call about a man who had mental illness, quote-unquote, carrying a gun up in Harlem. The two cops approached it to the gentleman in the hallway of the building, asked him to put his hands up, you know, usual procedure. Told the cops that he has a gun. As he reached to his pocket, he took out something black, and the black object was a wallet. The cops opened fire, and he got hit in that leg. One of the rare cases, the victim is still alive today. Yes, a cop shooting, the victim is alive, and he's Hispanic. One of the rare cases now these days, you know. Normally, it's fatality, or fatal. So, Sean, from what you read on the news and saw, do you think the shooting was justified, knowing that even though there was they heard that the person had mental illness, do you think the shooting was justified?
Well, the best thing out of this is that the victim that was shot is actually alive to talk about it, which is, like you just stated, very rare that outcome actually happens. And you've usually heard me say on this show something along these lines happens. If there is going to be a shooting, you shoot to maim, not to kill. And this is what happened. Now, you have to take into consideration, one, the call, two, everything that had happened prior. Now, the cops already know that the person is suffering from mental illness. So in that instance, we know what's going on. So if that's going to be the case, they already have knowledge going into the case, knowing that he may have a gun, he may have a weapon. We don't know what it is. We'll find out as soon as we get there and see what it is the case. Now, I've never been a police officer. I have family members who have been. I know of people that have been in the training that goes in that's involved with it. And if you're in a hallway or in an apartment building, you don't know the situation, you don't know who the person is as far as, you know, that what people in a particular neighborhood have that rapport with the police, what used to be the case, then you're going to be on the defensive, you may be scared, whatever is the case. Not making excuses for any police officer, but the fact that this was not a killing, and maybe they could have talked this person down to find out what was the case, that's the harder part. But the fact remains the man is still alive. I think that's and it's kind of sad that that's a baseline that I'm looking at based on the amount of times we've heard about these kinds of situations and it normally doesn't end like this.
True, but my thing is, I don't care the situation, I don't care the person has mental illness or the history. If you're in a situation and you see someone aim into their pocket and you already heard a call that this person may have a gun, you shoot first. And that's the bottom line. And to this day, I mean, the victim families, you know, trying to sue the city, yada, yada, yada. But once again, the guy said he has a gun, the victim, and he pulled out something that looked black. Are you, as an officer, going to take any chances thinking that would be a wallet or any other object, or you shoot to maintain, like you said, or like either you get shot or he gets shot? Someone's going to get shot. But we have Lady T on the line. Lady T, welcome.
Hey.
Hi there, sunshine.
What do you think about you know about the mental illness and the cops situation, yeah?
Yeah, so it's an excuse. I'm drained with it.
Drained what way?
So it's the same outcome.
Well, the difference in the outcome is the person isn't
dead. The guy's still alive.
That's
yeah.
The difference. I think it would be a different conversation if we were talking about, well, this guy walked around and he was killed because of.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, but I'm just saying the argument is the guy pulled something out of his pocket. So, of course, I believe the cops had the right to shoot first before anything like happened. That's what I'm saying overall. Of course, a lot of people beg to differ. Or they're going to talk him out or tase him or whatever. No, you have to defend yourself first right away. I'm surprised the media did not turn into a racist situation or this thing about race. But normally they do.
Well, I think we know the reason why that hadn't happened. Like we said before, the person's still alive. Had he been murdered, that would have been another notch on the belt that would have been added to the entire situation of, well, it's always shoot to kill. The police officer's always trying to murder black people and Hispanic people and minorities, as opposed to trying to reason with somebody. And we've gone over the myriad amount of people that have either done crimes, have murdered people, or done certain things that were white that got to live and talk about it. And in a lot of instances, not only did they get to live, they got to get out on their own terms before they were arrested, as opposed to other situations. Now, we said before, you said mental illness. Did the police officers follow protocol? Did they announce that they had guns? Did they announce that we came here and we heard distress signal, somebody called, put your hands up, whatever you have, don't reach for you. Any of that stuff we don't know of yet. If any of that was followed, and then the person didn't follow through, knowing going in that this person had some sort of mental illness or learning disability or whatever it was, then you got to do what you have to do to make sure that the situation is de-escalated. Could it have been prevented without violence, without anybody being shot? I don't know. But at least the person is not dead. And as I said before, that is a sad baseline. If I have to go into the argument saying, at least he's not dead, that's a complete difference.
All right. Kendall, welcome. Anything else you'd like to add on before we move on?
Go ahead, move on. There's a lot to be said about this. No, there's a lot to be said about it. Okay, I'll say something. First up, good evening, everyone. Pardon me for being rude, because you all know
I'm not. Kendall gets back, everyone. Kendall gets back.
All right, now listen. What happened to this man... You know, again and again, we hear about the same thing. Someone with a mental illness gets shot by the police. The best thing to do, if you see someone with a mental illness, okay, you're a police officer. You're trained to deal with certain matters. Okay, tasing a person wouldn't hurt, would it? Instead of pulling out your gun and shooting the person. Okay, and like Sean said, it's kind of sad.
You hear the report. I'm sorry, Kato, but you hear the report that this person has a gun. Should you arm yourself first?
Yeah, you should arm yourself first. But in this case, there wasn't a gun that was produced because he pulled out a wallet pretending to be a gun.
Yeah, but if you're in a situation overall, K-Dog, and you see someone pulling something out towards you, what are you going to do? Do you see if that's a wallet or you're going to shoot first?
You're going to shoot first. But however, you're going to shoot to defend yourself if the person is shooting first. But in this particular case, there was a report that the man was mentally ill.
It doesn't matter if he's mentally ill or not. A mentally ill person can't carry a weapon if fired, you know.
True. And if they fire, you got to shoot. That's the protocol. Now let's go to the next topic, because I'm kind of dreaming with this one. And I agree with you, Lady T. Yes, I am. I, too, I'm dreaming with it. Come on, Hot Rod. Let's get it on.
All right. Next up. The story of Michael Jackson still continues. Once when a man could not rest in peace after 10 years, the story about it still getting more and more juicy. Now, Sean Black, you mentioned last week that you saw part one, and you did not come to a conclusion yet. So let me get right to it. Do you finish watching the series? And if you did, what is your conclusion overall? Do you think Michael Jackson had some type of sexual allegations overall?
Everything that I saw in that documentary, and plus all of the other story that you heard, and plus the other circumstantial evidence and everything, it's very, very damning. Now, what I will say is, going in, this is a one-sided view, because this had no cooperation from the Jackson family in there as far as getting anything to corroborate the other side of what Michael Jackson's estate would try to defend themselves over. But after looking at this, something happened. Now, as we spoke of before, and I've often said this prior, forget about, you know, Michael Jackson didn't have much of a childhood and all the other, we know all of that stuff. What I will say is the parents, who I've stated before, have so much trust in Michael Jackson as an entity, as far as who he was, who he portrayed himself as, in the eyes of the media, in the eyes of children, in the eyes of just his fans, could do no wrong. And the fact that a parent would trust their child, whoever it is, with any celebrity, and leave them there a day, 2 days, a week, whatever. You got to question the mindset of a parent would do that. And we've heard many, many times starstruck fans of parents that had their children that are so love struck with a particular celebrity, and then just fawn them off to a particular celebrity. And then if something happens, the first thing they want to do, we don't believe that she would do such a thing, we don't believe she would do such a thing. And then proof pops up that something may happen that may actually corroborate what the victims are saying. Because as I stated before, one of the victims has a ton of faxes that was sent back and forth between himself and Michael Jackson. There are videos of Michael Jackson saying things about, I miss you, I love you, I can't wait for us to be around each other again, et cetera, et cetera.
Did they show the videos?
They show parts of the videos of Michael Jackson talking at his birthdays, that, you know, I'm glad it's your birthday, I can't wait for us to be together again, I'm thinking of you, I love you, those kinds of things. And based on all of the things that have been described, because in the video, the alleged victim got really explicit. I mean really explicit. I won't even go into how explicit here. But along those lines, for a 7 or 8 or 9 year old child to have these kinds of experiences allegedly, and then have a lot of things that may back a lot of this up, it does not look good for Michael Jackson's legacy at all. And it was already started, I believe a few radio stations have already started pulling Michael Jackson's music off of their radio stations, out of their playlists. So the damage has already been done. You know, most people thought the damage was done when he was doing the trial. The damage is being done in a longer scale. And I think that it's going to be hard going forward in the climate that we're in to think that Michael Jackson's legacy is going to be 100% safe because of all of the allegations, and a lot of the stuff is seeming gaining a lot of momentum with a lot of stuff.
Okay, so Lady T, you know, out of the two guys, you know me the longest since back in school. I don't want to say which school. Do you think, and we both have kids together, will you trust your daughter sleeping over at my house without you there?
Yeah, why not? I'm just thinking about the question. Why wouldn't I? You still have precautions. Is this not, I don't know. When I was growing up, that's how my parents were regardless. You still had to have precautions regardless. You still had to have certain rules when you were going over each other's house and such and such.
You know what? I tell persons, I never really slept at other people's homes really good. My parents would not allow me, unless it was like a family member, like a cousin, no friends whatsoever. And what?
No,
I had two
best friends, same thing. It's like you wasn't just going over to just anybody's house, though. That's my point. So I don't understand it with how these parents allowed these kids to just go over Michael. Well, I do understand it because it's Michael Jackson.
Michael Jackson.
People need to start separating the fame of the person with the person. It's still a person. And that's where you get stuff screwed up.
And to your point, like you just stated, it was, I think everybody has had at least one sleepover. Like you said, whether it was cousins, family, maybe you went over to a friend's house, you know, you stayed up, you went to, you know, watch movies, you talk about stuff, go to sleep, you wake up in the morning, you go to McDonald's, and then you go home. Things like that.
We
didn't
ask you for your life story, Sean Black.
I'm talking about your life story.
Okay? Calm down.
In any event,
yeah.
What
Lady
P is talking about is the fact
you know,
that
right?
The difference.
He doesn't like to have sleepovers.
The difference between what happened with the Jackson stuff and what we're describing are that when we were all growing up, neighbors and parents knew the other neighbors and parents, and they knew
right.
their children.
Exactly.
So that you were going yeah. over to someone's house, you knew everything about it. You knew the phone number.
Mm-hmm.
You knew who's going to be there, how long they're going to be
right.
there. You knew things. You didn't do this
okay.
to some strange person that you didn't know or didn't meet just
exactly.
because they were a celebrity. And that's the difference.
Way
okay,
different.
I'll give you that, yes.
And also from a female's point of view back then, too, your parents also told you certain things as far as anybody touch you, blah, blah, blah.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
you
had directions with things.
And you know what? And that's the open conversation you would have
mm-hmm.
back then with your parents. Compared
yeah.
to
mm-hmm.
now, with the mentality is completely different. You know, you have to go through social media to tell you what to do.
Exactly.
Some parents are afraid to have that sensitive conversation with their kids. And
you guys say social media is raising your kids now? Pretty much. I don't know. It's like I'm not understanding.
You know what?
Go
ahead, K-Dog.
Well, people, this is the thing. It's a different generation from when we were coming up. You understand? Back then, you know, everybody, like you said, everybody knew each other back then. You know, if you're staying at so-and-so's house, like, I'm not going to go into my personal experiences, which were mostly with family, you know. It was like, you know, you stayed at your aunt's house or you stayed at your cousin's. Everything was all good. But nowadays, it's like, it's a different type of generation. It's a different type of breed. You understand?
Yeah, I believe that. I agree, K-Dog. Lady T, social media is our news feed. Social media is everything
it
right
is.
Now. So these
it
kids
is.
Are on it 24/7. And
yes.
I remember back then, like I told people back then, we learned, well, the things we don't learn at home, we learn from each other in school.
Mm-hmm.
You know, about sex
exactly.
or games. Now it's on the computer, on the internet. And look at
the
kids, how brainwashed. Oh, yeah.
It's out in the open now.
Oh, yeah. And look at my kids, and even though they're young, how brainwashed they are easily over the internet. And stuff they're learning, because my son will come up to me, Fortnite, Daddy, Fortnite, and he's doing the dance. I'm like, what do you know about Fortnite? You know, we don't play that here at home. He's watching on the internet. Of course, I watch with him what he's watching, because I don't trust everything that he's watching, but
mm-hmm.
social media is a new parenting right now. Easy.
It's scary.
It used to be the television. Now it's just social media.
Now social media. Everyone's on social media. And like
you know
I said,
Sean, you go ahead.
Social media, and I said this before about social media. It is a blessing and a curse at the same time.
It's funny how you say that, Sean Black. That television. We used to learn from television back then. Well, didn't you guys say last week your parents will watch with us back on TV? But now parenting is completely different. Most parents don't have time, so you get them the device and, you know, let the device take over overall. But going back to Michael Jackson, Cato, do you feel that with all these allegations going on that even though we all knew about it 20 years ago, do the radio stations still should play the duty or wait till everything is settled and done?
You know, all I could say is this. You have to separate the man from his art. You know, Michael Jackson is still an icon. Now, with all of this coming out, now that it's coming out, here we are. It's almost been a decade since Michael Jackson passed away. Why now all of this is coming out? That's my question.
Me too.
Why now?
I said me too. Me too.
Why do people keep on saying why is all of this coming out? It's been coming out.
Yeah.
The reason I say that,
Lady T, because someone brought it to my attention. Like, ever since the Harvey Weinstein and all this stuff, everybody's digging up all this dirt. It's all resurfaced.
All this dirt is coming out.
It may not have to do anything with the Me Too movement or with the message, but it brought awareness and waking people up. Like,
yes,
who's the next allegation that will be brought out of dirt? So I'm like,
but Me Too isn't the only thing that has been bringing awareness. Awareness has been brought before. Me Too may have been given an even stronger voice for more people to step up, but these things have been coming up. They've been saying this about Michael Jackson.
Yeah.
I don't think it's even a trial.
There was even a trial about it. There was all of this.
Well, the trial was a long time ago. That was over 10 years ago before his death. And he was clear of those charges. But go ahead.
I don't think it's as much why is it happening so much as it is bringing attention to something that was quote-unquote unfinished. I think most of the people that saw what happened with R. Kelly were wondering, what next? We know even though he settled and he was acquitted, we knew something else was there. So everybody was looking at, well, when is the next step? When is he going to be punished for what he did?
So you tell me, every time we need to bring something back up, we have to do a movie or a series about it so people can wear these questions about it?
Apparently, that's the only way that it's getting results, because in those two instances with Michael Jackson and with R. Kelly, you know what happened? It got results, because for those things that nobody was really thinking of in the forefront of their mind, I mean, nobody was overall thinking about things like that happened. And even with the Bill Cosby stuff, the Bill Cosby stuff didn't come up until Hannibal Buress made a joke that was recorded at a stand-up routine. Can you guys just see what you just said?
And the minute that you bring gossip to the front line, it brings attention.
Exactly.
That's what it's all sounding like. So that's the only way lately to get things to be vocalized. By bringing out all this gossip.
Yep, bringing it to the forefront.
The media loves the gossip. The media loves the gossip. I haven't seen clean journalism in so long where you can just broadcast the news, give the details and facts to it, and solve the story. I have not seen that yet in journalism.
I agree with that 100%. But my thing is, like, okay, all of a sudden, but there's still so much dirt out there. And so much dirt
that's making you guys listen, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So once again, what you just told me, what you just say, Sean Black, that once again, it takes society to brainwash people for them to come out the light. None of these things cannot be thought on their own. So you need a TV, you need social media for people to think like, oh, God, how can we do this 20 years ago?
I don't think it's as much brainwashing as it is when bad things happen to a particular celebrity that you would think would have gone to jail. What happens is attention dies down until the next big story happens. And then the next big story happens. And while this is simmering, where it looks like it's about to boil over, it cools down.
Mm-hmm.
What has happened is that because so many people have gotten into the retribution business, and we're starting to see people who have done what some people would consider from questionable to outright disgusting in that range, we're starting to see people now that have the opportunity and have a little more power in a better situation to do something are now gathering up the attention that they need. It's just almost as if when you look at the news and you hear a story about somebody getting ripped off by a company and they call the company over and over to get something done, nothing gets done until they call the news. Then the news does a report, they shame the company in, and then the company does something about it. It's the same kind of thing we're seeing here, where we're seeing a situation that may have happened years and years ago. People feel that something did not go the way it probably should have, so they're re-bringing up the same situation and
mm-hmm.
picking up what happened and seeing
right.
if they can put the toe in that same swimming pool and pull the foot out and see what the temperature is. Can you say that,
okay.
you know, if the documentary didn't come out, that R. Kelly wouldn't be in the situation he's in now? We can't say that because
exactly.
who knows how long he would have gotten away
I'm
with
sorry.
It because he was still
you
doing concerts up until this point.
I'm sorry, Sean Black. I disagree. You still could say that because if that did not come out at all, he would be doing music and still be making money. Matter of fact, so then he got bailed out by lady fans again because he didn't pay his child support.
Allegedly, it's not a lady fan.
Allegedly.
It's a friend of a relative of a friend or something like that.
Yeah, they got
him. They defend,
you guys are missing a point with the R. Kelly thing because he has
mm-hmm.
a tape with a 14-year-old, and it's clear as day. They said that it's him, and Sparkle knows it's her niece. Blah 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 blah, and all of that.
Yeah.
That's why this R. Kelly stuff came out because it's here to shed light to you. He's going down for this. I'm just letting you guys know. Let's just stop.
Right.
The last
okay.
tape he could have possibly say, okay, it's not me. This tape is clear as day. They want to give you the history and the background so that when he does go down, you understand where all of this alleged from.
It's a matter of covering the basis.
Yeah.
It is.
Giving you the basis and then boom. They'll hit you with the guilty on this one. Sorry to say.
But one thing I want to add on to K-Dog's statement about Michael Jackson music still be playing, I believe Michael Jackson music still should be playing for a couple of reasons. Until it is provenly thought that he did his sexual allegations, the music still should be playing because guess what? Jerry Lee Lewis, married
exactly.
14-year-old cousin, his music
yeah.
still being played. Seinfeld is still on. Seinfeld was 38. And he dated a 17-year-old girl.
Yeah,
16-year-old.
Oh yeah.
Woody Allen. Should we even go with Woody Allen? You know,
exactly.
His
adoptive daughter, man.
Okay. Well, you
his
see what I'm aiming at? R. Kelly is a whole different story. I read, Lady T. The evidence is right there, night and day, black
oh,
and
yeah.
white. Yes, his music needs to be
everybody
stopped. Well, Michael
it.
Jackson.
But why
but
do
they
music need to be stopped, any of them, to be honest with you? If America's always talking about freedom of speech and blah, 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 they
right.
didn't say, oh, the minute that we find you guilty, we're gonna stop your music. Give me a break
well,
of
I,
it.
What
no,
I think most people are thinking
why.
Of is that
mm-hmm.
R. Kelly's music, most people think that he's gotten his inspiration from past experiences. And if those experiences are based on having sex with underage children, it kind of puts the thong
mm-hmm.
song in a completely different light or any other
give
song
it
you might
up.
Have
done.
Give it up. He didn't even write some of his songs. Give it up.
Exactly.
Well, most people
just have to stop. Just stop.
Well, like you guys have said earlier, people need to take out the man from the artist. If he
yeah.
likes R. Kelly's music, it's fine. You like Michael Jackson's music? That's fine. But people just need to separate the two. There's a difference between Rodney and the Hot Rod. Somewhat.
Yeah, somewhat. I'm glad you put that disclaimer
mm-hmm.
in there.
Yeah, I'm glad you said somewhat because I don't know the difference,
exactly.
but I ain't. But anyway. But on all seriousness, you know something that bothers me? It takes away from the actions that happen and things like that we're not really focused on. People have been victimized. It's really, to me, still being silenced because it's still circled around him and his fame, and I'm drained with that. And it's rape culture. People don't realize it's so silenced when people are victims. It makes the accuser turn into the victim. If you ask me, he's trying to look like the victim right now, and I'm getting so drained with it. I'm really getting drained
with
it.
And that was the main point that I was trying to bring up as far as
pulling
away from actual victims. And if these people that are alleged as victims were actually victimized, we're not talking about the people that actually were victimized, as you just stated, Lady T. We're talking about, should Michael Jackson's music be played? The hell cares if his music should be played? We're talking about people that may have been molested as children.
Yeah, that's what I want to know about.
But, okay, all right. But
that's what it is.
Hold on 1 second. But hold on. What about the people that we talk about? Wait a minute. You giving this cheater, this accuser, whatever, his credit, his money dues and everything? So basically you could do your crime and still get away, not get away with it, and still making money off of it, give or take?
If the legal situation gets taken care of, then that will take care of itself.
Exactly. What I
think most people are missing is not necessarily is the music that they have made going to be played on air and they're making money, et cetera. We know that if things are credible and the law is on the side of the evidence that's involved, the money part will dissipate on its own. As we already know, R. Kelly's already got dropped from his record label. We know record companies don't want to play any of his music. We know the concerts that he had have been canceled. So he's losing out on income. In the situation with Michael Jackson, he's been dead for a decade. So we know that that's not happening.
But he's still making millions.
His estate
is making millions. As a matter of fact, speaking of Michael Jackson's estate, his family's in uproar because of this. They're upset by HBO more than anything for running this.
But as I brought this attention to Lady T earlier this week, I just find it funny how it seemed like, technically speaking, it's like an attack on black man legacy. Like, this is not about the Michael Jackson victim or the R. Kelly victim. It's about destroying the legacy, the good work that Michael Jackson did overall. Look what happened to Bill Cosby. Justin Timberlake, he did to himself. I'm not gonna lie about that. So R. Kelly did some good. He made people have a lot of babies back then. So what do you say about them destroying the black man legacy overall? But look at Elvis.
Can
Presley.
I say something on that?
All right, go ahead. Let me take it.
When you finish Hot Rod, finish saying, because I want to say something on that.
No, the bottom line is Elvis Presley making billions of dollars right now, and he's married a 14-year-old Priscilla, I think her name was.
He was
24, 25. So there's a list of guys, of men, that went after young girls. But you look at these guys who did the same exact thing. But the media seem to be more focused on black men doing this. But go ahead, Lady T.
Number one, sorry to say, black men, this is not your America, okay?
No,
enough
really?
Is enough with this whole thing about, oh, they're tarnishing. And this is what I'm talking about, what is taken away from the victims. There's so much that has gone on in this country that we as blacks cannot get away with as a white person may possibly get away with certain things. And that's something that people fail to realize. So enough is enough with this, it's the black man's image being tarnished. No, the black man tarnished his own goddamn image, okay, when he wanted to be molesting and raping 14-year-olds and 16-year-olds. You can't follow what the white man do and think that you're going to get away from it in the white man's so-called land, because it's still not even his land, okay? But you can't get away with the same thing. So enough with all of that. Start taking care of your own pride as a black man.
Wow.
Set yourself to higher standards as a black man in this country, and watch how the white man is going to be feeling threatened by that. Instead of you threatening your own culture and wanting to rape 14-year-old girls, because that's technically what R. Kelly is being accused of right now. So don't tell me that when somebody wants to do an interview, which is pure journalism, not saying, oh, I'm not going to do an interview on a black man. It's journalism. Gayle King did it on the black man, and she focused on what he was allegedly being charged for, which was rape. And it's unfortunate that all of this is being taken away from these victims of his abuse. Don't talk to me about, oh, it's, she's destroying the black man. Do not. The black man sometimes destroys himself. Okay? Take care of yourself first as a black man.
Hold on,
take care
on,
of your home secondly as a black man. Okay?
Hold on.
You have the black women sometimes in the home strengthening the black men, being side by side as teammates, building their kingdom. So don't talk to me about that bull crap. Black men need to stop making excuses, and not all black men, because you do have some strong, powerful black men out there.
Thank you. Thank you so much. Why do I feel like I got 40 lashes right down my back? How much that hurts?
Y'all know. Get some lashes. Not y'all.
Wow.
Not y'all.
But,
okay. No, but I just get so strained with it. Like, let's stop.
No.
If you come together as a black man, you would see how much strength you have and how much fear you may bring to certain people.
So why do you think it doesn't act that way? Because of education and ignorance. And,
yes,
know, the
education and ignorance, exactly. And don't forget, you don't have to go to college just to educate yourself. You can educate yourself by reading, and you gain knowledge. I'm sorry.
Knowledge is power.
I'll borrow something that Chris Rock said in one of his stand-ups. When you have money and you have education, the sky is the limit. But if you're black and you do something wrong, the limit is the sky. And that's exactly what you see happening in a lot of these instances when you are, like you said before, because you're educated and you have the money and you know what to do and you stay away from trouble, you can be president of the United States, as been evidenced by Barack Obama. Or you could be like other people that we see now in the news. And as I was saying before, I've had this conversation with a couple of people about why African Americans, especially females, are taking down black men. And that's not necessarily the case in every situation because, as you said before, if there was no evil to bring up within that story, we wouldn't be having this conversation when it comes to these particular people that are here. Bill Cosby brought this stuff on himself. R. Kelly brought this stuff on himself. Michael Jackson, because of the situations he put himself in, brought a lot of this on himself.
Go ahead, Sean.
In a lot of instances, we take the onus and the attention, like Lady T just stated, away from the alleged victims. Because, as we stated before, somebody did something, whether it is partially remembered, whether it's only one victim, whether it's whatever is the case, we know something happened in a lot of these instances, and over time has proven that the truth will come out at some point, and that's what we're seeing right now.
Mind if I say something? Wow. You see, the problem is the bottom line is this: you have to take responsibility for your own actions, especially when you're bringing these problems onto yourself, because at the end of the day, you have nobody to blame but yourself. And like you stated before, Sean, and Lady T, wow. Michael Jackson, with the situation that he got himself involved in, I mean, listen, okay, forget about the bad childhood, forget about all of this. Yes, the victims should be put first, the victims of the alleged incident that happened. Bill Cosby, again, bringing this onto yourself. Why the hell are you giving these women quaaludes? And R. Kelly, based on the interview that this man gave, I mean, really, you know, I don't know who was the better emotional person. Was it Jussie Smollett or R. Kelly? Who deserves the Academy Award for Best Performing Actor in those interviews? Anybody? You know, R.
Why
Kelly?
Why are we even comparing it? Because it was both, you know, bad choices.
It was very bad
choices.
And you know what? And R. Kelly made himself even look more guilty by trying to play the victim and going off and screaming all of that, there was no need for that. And Gayle King, I give her a lot of credit because you know what? Gayle King is a journalist, and she remained professional. She didn't say, oh, let's turn off the cameras and give him a chance to catch his breath. No, she's just calmly saying, Robert, while he was going off all over the place, I'm like, he was throwing a tantrum like a little child. I mean, you proved you're guilty right then and there by your actions, by your reaction to the question.
But if you're very upset or the emotions are running wild, it will make you go act crazy. But here's my question.
He was trying to get sympathy. He was trying to get sympathy.
And I bet you he got some females out there. Not all, but a couple of females out there. I bet he got.
And you know why he got the sympathy? Because he's a narcissist. And looking at him, he played on that. And it's something that I have that's narcissist awareness. And people need to really research in that, and that'll tell you a lot. Mm-hmm. I remember one point in the interview where Gail even gave him an opportunity. She explained, you were a victim of sex abuse. She asked him, you think that how does she word it? I don't know her exact word, but this played a role in your life. He didn't even understand what she was trying to say.
Mm-hmm. Right.
He didn't want to hear it.
Mm-hmm.
He turned it around to, you know, that's R. Kelly and I'm Robert, but you're not even hearing it. I think that did play a role. Hurt people hurt people.
Mm-hmm.
I like that a lot. But do you think, since we talk about black men, do you think Gayle King threw R. Kelly, Oprah, threw Michael Jackson underneath the bus?
That's a question you're really asking me.
Oh, yeah, because because people are saying, like, why did Oprah, who's supposed to be best friend with Michael Jackson, did this type of series about Michael Jackson? Why did, you know, once again, people like to attack other people. Why did they not interview Harvey Weinstein? Why is there no series about that? You know, once again, we're making excuses about other things.
I'll throw this one at you. And the reason why everybody keeps going back to Harvey Weinstein is that the Harvey Weinstein stuff has just been adjudicated within the last year or two. We're looking for the instant stuff to happen now. We're looking for the immediate gratification of all of these allegations piled on Harvey Weinstein. And everybody's looking at that as the basis for why everything is happening against the black person that has done unspeakable evil. Whereas this has happened to Harvey Weinstein, and yet he hasn't, quote-unquote, done his restitution yet. He isn't in jail yet or anything like that. And we have to stop with that line of thinking in this sense. He will get his day in court at some point. He will potentially go to jail for all of the stuff that is being levied out there if he goes to trial and he is found guilty. But what we have to stop doing is when we hear any African-American that actually has proof that he's done or she has done bad, something that needs to have some sort of restitution, that they have to pay for what they've done and stop looking at it as an African-American or Hispanic person or any minority that is a celebrity being assassinated in the eyes of the public media because of something. If you did wrong, if you did something that deserves to be prosecuted, adjudicated, and then put on trial for you to go to jail, if you did guilty, that's what you have to do. And people have to stop looking at that same mentality of this black person, because of their black. Well, if you weren't molesting people, allegedly, if you weren't having sex with underage girls, allegedly, if you weren't having sex with underage children, allegedly, you wouldn't be in the situation that you're in now. And that's the problem.
And may I say something real quick, Sean Black, with that?
Yes.
Because something about these interviews, sure, Gail is going to get interviews, Oprah is going to get interviews, but R. Kelly, right now, with everything that's going on and this thing that came out with your whole documentary, you should be saying, I don't want to do any interviews. And this is where I'm talking about where black men need to get educated on certain things, because a lot of this stuff from that interview, who knows if that can even be used against him. You understand what I'm saying? He should be staying silent just for his own protection, for his own rights. Don't forget you have the right to remain silent. So he should have said from the time Gail brought it to him, I'm not doing this interview. We don't know if other people approach Harvey Weinstein for an interview. I'm sure they did. But I'm sure him, he's going to think about it. Nope, I'm not going to say anything. And that, yeah. And his
you
wanna, and
you know what the
mine.
Word
this
you're looking for
point.
Is to describe that? It's hubris, which is something that he has a ton of. And when you have extreme hubris and you think that you can do no wrong, and you can go ahead probably not even talking to his lawyers about this, because I'm pretty sure they didn't know anything about it. Or they say, look, you work for me. I don't work for you. I'm going to do the interview. I'm going to get the sympathy. I'm going to tell my side of the story, and people can see what kind of a victim I am. Everybody's lying, et cetera, et cetera. And what did he do? Right. He did the interview, and it had the complete opposite effect.
Exactly. That's my point with let's get educated. Let's get educated on the law.
That's a well said. Because, again, like I said, you prove that you're guilty just by giving an interview and just by standing there and trying to play the victim.
Well, he
didn't
prove that he was guilty. He put out a little bit too much now.
He didn't do himself any favors.
He didn't do himself any favors. By his reaction, you proved that you're guilty because you know what? Like Lady T said about a narcissist will play the victim. They'll try to blame the other person. And meanwhile, they're not going to take responsibility for what they did. They're like this.
Why
not? Look at what I did.
If it's going to work for you, why not?
Well, it didn't work for anybody else because people were looking at this and like, damn, man.
How do you know
some
that?
People,
how do you know
I'm
that?
I'm
going to
say
work?
Some people. I'm not saying all. Some people are going to look at this interview like, wow. Some people, people be like, oh, I feel sorry for him. You know, trying to play the victim.
Going back to the top of the show, Sean Block and I talked about when Donald Trump was giving signed autographs of the Bible to the people of Alabama. It's the same thing. Is the Bible going to help out the people down there? No, but it's just the USA, all of those stuff.
But
Donald Trump opened
the Bible. But dig this. He's giving the Bible to some people.
So,
but what did he do in Puerto Rico? In Puerto Rico, what did he do? He didn't give them Bibles. He threw paper towels at them.
Yeah, but
I mean,
hold on. Relax. Yeah. I'm not done with Trump.
I'm relaxed.
Listen very carefully. R. Kelly used his power, his platform, to make himself look good. Same thing with Donald Trump. Giving out all of that holy Bibles is not going to do anything for the people, but give a couple of those people a little bit of hope. And that's what you use your platform. If it's going to work for you to a certain degree, why not use it? That's all I'm saying.
But like I said,
it makes things stupid to us, but we have knowledge. We have some education. To others, you know, it is what it is. And this is what I'm told. Society can be brainwashed to a certain degree. Anything else you'd like to add on, Sean Black? 2 minutes left.
I'll tell you this. What we're seeing now is that the media is not tolerating a lot of the behaviors that people in R. Kelly's position are in, where they have been able to get away with a lot and then say, well, you know what? He's going to get a pass. That's not going to happen. Mm-hmm. Forget about the fact that he's black. Just the fact that he's a male that has been, in the eyes of everything that's been going on, victimizing young women, young girls, that is not going to be looked at in a positive note. And those kinds of behaviors, no matter who you are, will not be tolerated anymore without something happening. And with all this extra proof that seems to be coming out of the woodworks every so often, that's not good at all.
Okay, let me see. God forbid, if the court goes through and R. Kelly was found not guilty, do you foresee a riot happening?
Why does a riot need to be happening? This happened last time. I'm expecting it to go either way. Why does a riot need to happen? How about we riot for victims that this is happening to? Let's stop rioting, okay, R. Kelly wasn't guilty. There's so many people on a day-to-day basis right now that this is happening to. I'm so drained with it.
What about those people in Flint, Michigan that still are drinking rusty Letty water? You know?
We have a lot of these things that's going on. I'm sure they're still rioting for that, but come on, it's not being vocalized.
And like I always say, what about the the oldest little altar boys been touched by the priest in the Catholic
exactly.
Church.
Exactly.
So many things that people know that are not right that's going on, but it's still going on and so forth.
And that
I don't know, on a day-to-day basis, I'm just like –